This class is Le'ilui Nishmas Harav Don Yoel Ben Harav Deiber Olav HaSholem. May his neshama have the highest aliyah. The title of this class is Frequently Asked Questions Regarding Pesach Food Essentials. This class is solely intended for educational purposes. It does not in any way replace a Rav. Any questions regarding your standards should be discussed with your personal Rav. We'll be discussing questions which come up often regarding basic Pesach food essentials. We will start with raw meat and chicken. Many are asking if they can use raw meat and chicken even if it does not have a special Kosher Pesach certification on it, whether because they have it in their fridge or freezer and they can't access anything else, or that's what's available in the stores. So there is a hiddur in general by all Pesach things that the food should be prepared l'shem Pesach. The explanation is because when you're preparing something specifically under Pesach supervision, extra precautions are taken, extra lookout is done, and everything is made sure to be 1000% sure that there's no possible chashash of chametz. However, when something is just being done stam, not for Pesach, there's a chance, even if it's not common, there's a chance that something may happen, and therefore there is a hiddur always to get something which was specifically done kashal Pesach. Nevertheless, regarding raw meat and chicken, if someone can't get raw meat and chicken that was done specifically for Pesach, so all OU raw meat and chicken is kashal Pesach year round and does not have to say kashal Pesach on it. This is as long as it is in the original packaging. Once it was repackaged in a butcher shop, then it does not apply anymore. And you have to find out from the hashgacha of the butcher shop if it's chametz free. This does not apply to ground beef. Ground beef depends on the factory, depends on the company. Some of them are kosher Pesach year round, some of them aren't. So you need to find out specifics about the company you are using specifically. Now, other companies which are not under the OU also as well are acceptable to use, as long as one washes them well before using, and that they bought it before Pesach and they wash it well before using. You could also use any raw meat and chicken from other companies if it's washed well. Regarding next thing is raw salmon or fish, or whether it's fresh or frozen. So fresh fish could be purchased even without a special Kosher Pesach certification. And a person just needs to follow all the guidelines we have set in the past regarding kashrus of fish and the guide that we put out, how to buy fish fillets. So follow all those guides, follow whatever it says in that guide for fish. Regarding frozen, however, it's a drop different, and you have to be a little more careful when it comes to frozen fish on Pesach. So regarding frozen fish, farmed salmon is fine, even frozen, and one can use it. Again, one should always wash it off beforehand, and it's better to buy this fish before Pesach. Regarding wild salmon, since wild salmon can only be caught at certain times of the year, it cannot be provided year-round fresh. Therefore, before freezing it, many companies will glaze it with a type of glaze. Sometimes the glaze is just water and salt, sometimes there's sugar added, and sometimes even there's corn syrup added to is glazed. The reason why they glaze the fish is in order to protect the fish from dehydration, from drying out while it's frozen for so long. Now, obviously, if there is corn syrup solids in the water in the glaze, it would be a problem of kitnius. So people should avoid using wild frozen salmon. And many times stores will sell wild salmon that's unfrozen, but most of the time it will say previously frozen because it's very hard to get throughout the year fresh wild salmon. Therefore, a person should look out for that. Nevertheless, if this is the only thing a person can get, it's technically mutter, halachically, to use such fish on Pesach. First of all, because the corn syrup is batul in the mixture of water, and therefore, essentially, one could halachically, kidneys is batul, and you know, it's fine to even eat it as is. If someone has no other option, and they don't feel comfortable consuming even a kidney stare bottle, if you wash the fish off once it was thawed, that will wash off the glaze, and it is fine to use for Pesach. Regarding eggs, so there's a hiddur that eggs should be bought before Pesach. The reason for that is that there's a potential concerns with eggs is that, first of all, there's an opinion in halacha that if a chicken is fed a diet which is exclusively chametz and its entire life source is chametz, since chametz is asur b'hana on Pesach, there's an opinion that says that if the entire life force of this animal, its entire diet is chametz, which is asur b'hana, the product that it makes is also asur b'hana, is also forbidden to have any benefit from. And we are choshish, we are concerned with this opinion. This only applies during Pesach. If one buys the eggs before Pesach, chametz is not asur b'hana. And once we bought the eggs while they were in a, while, if the eggs were laid before Pesach in that state, the eggs have no issue of coming from an animal that's being fed something that's asur b'hana, and such eggs could be eaten. Therefore, some are mahadra to buy all their eggs before Pesach, therefore they could be 100% sure that their eggs were laid before Pesach, and there's no issue of the possible diet of the chicken, whether it was eating a fully chametz diet. If someone ran out of eggs and is looking and needs eggs on Pesach, there's a way to check the date when the eggs were packaged in their carton, and based on that you can know if the eggs were laid before Pesach. And if they were laid before Pesach, you can buy them even during Pesach, and that it wouldn't be an issue. The way to find out when eggs were packaged is on the side of an egg box. Look at the picture attached with this shear. Is that this, on the side of an egg box, there is a 3-digit code, which is called the Julian date. It follows the Julian calendar. The way the Julian calendar is, that the entire year from January 1st till the last day of the year has a special number, a specific number. January 1st is reflected as 001, and January 2nd as 0002, so on and so forth, until December 31st of the year is number 365. Then generally there's a rule that companies could package eggs up to 30 days from when they were laid. So even if something was packaged on Pesach, and most probably wasn't laid on Pesach, nevertheless, you don't want to take a chance, but for sure if it was packaged before Pesach, you know it was laid before Pesach, and you can use those eggs. Now, another concern which can come up with eggs is that the eggs are washed at a low temperature with water that contains sometimes a drop of chametz additive, or sometimes it could be a kidneys additive. Now, this is usually washed off and it's not really present on the egg, but some are concerned with that, therefore there's a hiddur of buying, that's why there's a hiddur also buying before Pesach, because before Pesach the solution, the chametz, the possible chametz in the solution is batel. However, on Pesach it would be more problematic. If someone ran out of eggs and had to buy eggs on Pesach, they can wash off the eggs well and then cook them. There's also a minhag amongst many to have a special egg pot that only cooks eggs because of this concern that things could have touched the shell or the way it's washed or other concerns of chametz. Another concern is that sometimes eggs are stamped with ink, and this ink could be is based with alcohol. The alcohol could be kidneys or chametz. So really, technically, once the stamp is stamped, the alcohol usually evaporates and there's not much left of it. Some are mahadir to only buy such eggs before Pesach due to this concern. Next thing is water. So bottled water, if it's pure spring water, it's fine. However, if it's purified water, what they do is they add additives to the water so that it should taste good, it should taste like regular water. Now, these additives could sometimes be chametz or kidneys, and the person needs to be careful to make sure that the additives are fine. Now, in theory, these additives are added to the water before Pesach and are definitely batel. Nevertheless, a person should avoid relying on that and should use water without any questions. Attached with the shear in a text are certain additives which are okay if found in bottled water, and a person can use bottled water even if they have those additives. The next thing is salt. Salt, pure. The best salt to use is pure
real sea salt or Himalayan salt is also is the least processed. So pure sea salt or pure Himalayan salt, these are the least processed salts. They basically are not processed. And there's a hiddur, some have to use specifically coarse salt so that you can easily go through it and, you know, see if there's anything else mixed into it. However, once salt is ground, sometimes something could have gotten mixed in, maybe a little flour, and you wouldn't see it. However, if the salt is coarse, you can go through it and see if there's any foreign matter. But it's a hiddur that's not required halakhically. If the salt is pure sea salt, pure Himalayan salt, it's totally fine. In addition, regular salt as well is fine as long as there is no iodine added to the salt. The reason is because iodine is applied to salt in a carrier, which is likely kidneyous and could potentially be chametz as well. Although it is batel, definitely batel b'shushim, still one should not be relying on that. In addition, there are some additives that are added to salt which someone could be concerned with. Attached with this shear is a list of additives which are not a concern in non-iodized salt. Regarding sugar, although in the past we have mentioned that sugar, pure white sugar, would not need to be specifically kosher Pesach. However, due to recent information as to possible additives that are added in the process of making sugar, is there, and those additives could be problematic kidneys wise or even possibly from a chametz source, therefore it is recommended to only get sugar which is kosher l'Pesach. Some have a minhag to boil their sugar. It is not specifically a Chabad minhag. It's a minhag that some people have in their families, or it's, that's based on halachic reasoning, which is beyond the scope of the shir. Some don't use sugar at all. The Rebbeim used to not use sugar. Someone asked the Rebbe whether Chassidim should be using sugar or not, and the Rebbe answered that if there's a possible chashash of chametz, then one should be avoiding the sugar. However, if it's produced without any chashash chametz, there's no reason to refrain from sugar. A person should follow what their Rav tells them and what they've been doing in their family. Powdered sugar, however, has starches added to it in order to avoid clumping, and the starches could be kidneyous and possible even chametz or chametz equipment, and therefore powdered sugar must have a kosher Pesach hashgacha. Nuts have been discussed in a text that we sent out, and that's detailed over there. Milk could have vitamins added to it, which are either kidneyous or even chametz. In addition, by milk, there's the concern we mentioned earlier by eggs, is that if the diet of the cow is made basically exclusively chametz, then milk that would be milked on Pesach from this cow cannot be used because it's coming from a cow which is being fed solely isra'ana. However, if the milk was bought before Pesach, it's not a concern. Practically speaking, any milk which is chalav Yisrael is milked before Pesach, so we don't have to be concerned about it being milked on Pesach. But since there could be vitamins added to the, there is vitamins added to the milk that could be kidneys or chametz, milk has to have a kosher Pesach certification. If for whatever reason a person cannot get kosher Pesach milk and the only milk available is one that doesn't have a kosher Pesach certification, b'di'evet a person could buy the milk as long as he's buying it before Pesach, since the vitamins added are batel, and before Pesach it is batel, and a person could rely on that if they really need the milk and there's nothing else available. Regarding olive oil, so regular olive oil is processed with heat in order to remove undesirable odors, and this processing could be on equipment that was used for kidneys, and sometimes even could be possible chametz issues. Extra virgin olive oil that's cold pressed is not processed with heat, and therefore many permit the use of extra virgin olive oil on Pesach without any kosher Pesach hashgacha. Some are concerned that all olive oils, including extra virgin olive oil, could be adulterated with kidneyous oils, and they are not comfortable using even extra virgin olive oil unless it has a proper kosher Pesach hashgacha, which really makes sure that the source of this olive oil is pure olive oil. Honey many times could be adulterated with kidneyous, and although it's less than 50% of the product and it's in theory it's batel, nevertheless a person should avoid such problems. In addition, honey is heated in order to package it, and the equipment where it's heated on could be problematic. Sometimes other sauces could be, chametz tikka sauces could be packaged on that same equipment. Therefore, honey should have a kashrut Pesach certification. If a person finds out from a specific hashgacha that a specific company is pure and has no issue of equipment and all that, then a person could use that honey. However, it needs to be looked into. Seltzer, the carbon dioxide that gives the gas in the seltzer is commonly produced from harmless sources, or it could be produced from kidneys. Sometimes it could also be coming from chametz fermentations. There are some companies that buy their carbon dioxide from beer breweries, and that could be problematic. Some poskim hold that carbon dioxide produced from chametz is mutter on Pesach and is not considered an issue. Some hold it's forbidden. Therefore, unless one knows the source of the carbon dioxide, a person should avoid seltzer, and they should only buy kosher Pesach seltzer. Flavored seltzer, for sure, is Pesach sensitive and needs to have a kosher Pesach hashgacha. Tea, some have a minhag from past generations to not use tea, because back in the days, many years ago, some tea bags were sometimes recycled, and it could have been, there was different chametz concerns. However, today, that's not the case. If someone has that family minhag, they should continue keeping that family minhag or speak to the Rav regarding that. However, today, black, green, white, yellow, oolong, and jasmine tea are all essentially kosher Pesach and do not need kosher Pesach certification. However, if they're decaffeinated, the way the decaffeination process works is that they use a water mixed with some chemicals in order to remove the caffeine, and sometimes the chemicals used could be a problem of chametz. Therefore, a person with decaffeinated tea can only be used if it has Kashrut Pesach certification. It happens to be that the Lipton decaffeinated tea bags with the OU are acceptable for Pesach, even though there isn't a OUP. They are still fine. Obviously, any flavored teas would be a problem, as well as herbal teas are not acceptable for use on Pesach. Regarding coffee, all unflavored ground coffee beans are acceptable for Pesach. If a person is grinding their own beans in a grinder, you have to make sure the grinder is 100% clean. Regarding Keurig K-cups, sometimes the K-cups in the process, in order so that they could brew more quickly, the coffee grounds are moistened and dried in a process called agglomeration, and there could be concerns with the equipment. There could be chametz. In addition, sometimes they could add starch as well to the K-cups. Therefore, K-cups, even if they're 100% pure coffee, unflavored, need to have kashrut Pesach hashgacha, or at least should be on a list that it's fine to use. The OU has a long list of all the K-cups that are okay to use, even though they don't have an OUP. Decaffeinated coffee, as we mentioned earlier by tea, decaffeination could have an issue of chametz, and therefore needs kashrut Pesach certification. It happens to be that Folgers decaf coffee is fine with just an OU and doesn't need an OUP. Instant coffee could have an issue. Sometimes they add maltodextrin to the coffee, and the source of that could either be chametz or kidneys or something harmless. However, this concern is only by spray-dried coffee and not by freeze-dried coffee. The difference between two is that spray-dried is that the way instant coffee is made is that they brew coffee, and they have now a coffee liquid, and then they remove the liquid from that, and what's left is basically instant coffee. And the way to dry it, one process is to put it on a spray dryer, which instantly removes all the liquid, and all that's left is just the coffee concentrated dried. Or there's a freeze-dried process, which takes about 24 hours. We're not going to get into all the details. But freeze-dried, there's no concern of possible chametz or kidneys added, and it's fine without any hashgacha. However, spray-dried coffee could have the additives and therefore needs kashrut Pesach hashgacha. To know the difference between freeze-dried and spray-dried, the coffee usually turns into a powder, and then they take that powder and they clump it together. So the clumps look very grainy and very, very powdery. However, freeze-dried, each piece of coffee is smooth and in color, and it has a lighter color, and it's very smooth. It doesn't look grainy or powdery. I see the attached pictures to the shiur for clarity on that. Regarding dried fruit, some dried fruits, particularly apricots and dates, could be coated with wheat or oat flour. As well, the dried fruit could be covered with kidneys oils, and therefore a person should not use dried fruit unless they have kashrut Pesach hashgacha. Some people have a minhag not to use dried fruit at all, based on the fact that in the past no one knew exactly how it was processed and there could have been possible chametz. If that's someone's family minug, they should keep to that or speak to the Rav Mashpia on how to go about. May you all have a kosher and freilchen and gesund in Pesach and only revealed good.